On the evening of September 24th, 2009, at CETA in Montreal, around 75 people gathered for Breaking the Silence, the launch of Absoufian Abdelrazak's Cross Canada speaking tour. The evening consisted of a community dinner, poetry reading, talk by Abdelrazak, and a public forum. After years of harassment by the Canadian Security Intelligence Service, CSIS, Abdelrazak was arrested and imprisoned during a trip to Sudan in 2003. While in prison, he was beaten, threatened, and tortured. Over the course of 3 years, he spent a total of 21 months in prison, despite having never been charged or presented with evidence. Absoufian Abdelrazak spoke about his years of harassment by CSIS.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you very much to come tonight and to join this meeting and to listen to my story, sad story. And just I'm very glad to be among you tonight. And just to speak to you in person. And first, I want to tell you thank you very much for coming tonight and for the support you give to me while I'm in prison in Sudan. And you work hard to put pressure on the government of Canada to act in the right way. And honestly, because of your support, now I am here and reunited with my children. And that is very great job you did. And yes, I pray Allah, may God bless you and bless your effort. Actually, since 1997, I find out that the Mukhabarat, when I say Mukhabarat, this is the word in Arabic, which is intelligence. And it is, this word is in Arabic countries and Islamic world, it is very scary word. When somebody hears this word, Mukhabarat, then he shake or he close to die when he hears this word, because Mukhabarat, it did nasty thing on the people on those countries without any reason sometimes. An accident usual accused Mukhabarat, accused torture, killed. And this one from for everybody's come from those areas. It is very scary one. Just they start to follow my wife and they came to ask her this question about me. Give us some information about your husband. That's what they told her. I don't know what kind of information they're seeking from her. And when she's astonished because they ask her information. What kind of information you see? Then they went to her father to convince him just to let his daughter to talk to them. Or once her father called her and asked her to come for lunch. This is in the east of Montreal. And when she went to that restaurant, she found two agents of CSIS sitting down with her father. And just they told her, this is your country. This man, he's a Sudanese, he's not a Canadian. And We ask you to work with us, to protect Canada from him. And just, if you know any information about your husband, give it to us. That's what she told me. I'm not intended that meeting, but she told me that. Then she told them, freely have something about this man. Why you don't bring him to the jet, to the court to face anything he did wrong? She said to them, leave me alone. I don't have no information. My husband is practicing his religion, that's true, but that's all I know about my husband. My husband is a quiet man, he don't hurt nobody. Leave him alone, leave me alone, get out of our life. And she went away. But imagine, they don't stop. They went to her sister, her mother. Even while she's sick in the hospital, she's dying. She was dying in the hospital. They came to the hospital, and even though they tried just to hold her hand, to, hey, look, just help us. If you have information about your husband, give it to us. And she told them, if you don't leave, I'm going to call the people here in the hospital, and I'm going to explain them what you are. And they went. After not so long, my wife, she passed away.
After the death of his wife, Abdul Razak went to Sudan in 2003 in order to visit his ailing mother. He stayed in Sudan for 6 months and was arrested at the airport while attempting to return home to Canada.
When I arrived in the same place, just I found somebody came to me and he introduced himself to me. He said, from the Sudanese intelligence. He wanted to speak to me for 5 minutes. Where? He said, in his office. I said, why? He said, I want to know. You will know later on. I said, I don't go with you because you cheated me. You say, somebody come from Saudi Arabia. Why you say that? Why? And then he showed me his pashto. And by he put the gun here, he raised his shirt to let me to see the gun. And I saw another person come toward me. And he introduced himself to me also. He said, from the Sudanese intelligence. And I must go with them. I said, no, I'm not going to go nowhere with you. Why I go with you? What is wrong I did? Then he said, look, if you don't go, you want to resist. We have authorization to shoot you and to kill you. We don't care. And me, I know them, it could do it. Seriously, I'm very scared. I'm traveling, you know. Then they asked my brother and my cousin to go away. But I said, no. Let them to go with me because you said 5 minutes. Let them to stay in front of your office door and to finish with me. Then when I have company of them and go back home. Say no, promise. Just let them to stay, both of them to stay here. And when we finish, we bring you to the same place and you're going to go with your brother. But me, I still like, I hesitate to go with them. Yes, they take their gun, just pointed to me and sit down to the ground. And just like, get down to the ground. They took me like that and they throw me in the car. And they left. In the way they start to ask me questions, why, well, what is the reason I came to Sudan? I say, this is my country, and it's my mother is here, my brother, all my family is here. and I'm visiting my sick mother. Then they said to me, there's no other reason let you to leave Canada? I say no. They said yes, there is another reason. I say, what is another reason, you know? Send the Mukhabarat of Canada bothering you and you want to leave the country for them. In this moment, it's like I have doubt like that the Canadian intelligence. I'm not very quite sure, but it's clicking in my mind, maybe then they play some role in this matter now. I went inside the building, a scary building actually. Going there, in the office, they took everything, my wallet, it's my old belong. They empty my pockets, they say a safe word. And just, they start to write, they ask me question and try to note, like my name, my age, you know, this is information. Then they pretend like receive telephone call. One of them, and I don't believe that there is no telephone call. Just they spoke like, okay, we're coming, okay. And they say, okay, I'm sorry. Yes, we received call, we're gonna go, and just stay here, and we're gonna continue. And I say, you said 5 minutes, now it's more than 5 minutes. How come now you leave me? Finish with me and then come back. Say, no, because this is very urgent. And just they asked me to follow them. I went, small cell, 1 meter by 2.5 meters. They throw me below on the ground, they say stay here. It's very cold, air conditioned with the remote control. They put it very high, and they locked me up, and they went. It, 12 days, nobody came through. And I don't know what is going on, what is wrong. 12 days. They left me for 12 days, nobody came to me. See, I have many things goes from my mind. Think about my daughter, she's an orphan. My situation, I said I come here to just to relax. Now I get in trouble. It's very scary, you know.
Abdelrazik was released from his second period of detention in July 2006, having been cleared of any wrongdoing by the Sudanese government. His attempts to return home to Canada were prevented by the Canadian government, despite the fact that both CSIS and the RCMP formally acknowledged that they had no substantial evidence against him. In March 2009, 1 year after taking sanctuary in the Canadian embassy in Khartoum, 116 Canadians purchased a plane ticket for Abdelrazik to return home to Canada. However, at the last minute, Minister of Foreign Affairs Lawrence Cannon refused to issue an emergency passport, and Abdelrazik remained stranded in Sudan. He was finally able to return home to Montreal on June 27, 2009, after the federal court found Lawrence Cannon's actions to be in violation of Abdelrazik's rights. Last week, Abdelrazik launched a lawsuit against the Attorney General of Canada, as well as Lawrence Cannon. The lawsuit is on the basis of false imprisonment and breach of Section 7 of the Charter, breach of the prohibition against torture and Section 12 of the Charter, breach of Section 6 of the Charter, misfeasance in public office, intentional infliction of mental suffering, breach of fiduciary duty, and negligence. The evening also included a reading by Montreal poet and activist Eheb Latoyef.
I didn't write this poem with Abu Sufyan in mind, but after I looked at it when I was invited to participate tonight, I thought it might could have well been written by Abu Sufyan himself. Our dream eludes us. In a land that rejects us, a million eyes are watching us as our hopes suffocate and we wait, and wait, and wait. الحلم هو لسه متعلق والصورة بصلنا كشفانا وطريقنا خدنا وغربنا في بلاد بالعافية قبلانا وقدينا نمنا ونيمنا كل أمانينا ويانا في مداين لا بتطلع فيها شمسنا ولا نجمة في السمان في الضلمة طريقنا توهنا والضلمة كبرت جوانا أوهمنا صبغت أحلامنا بسواد الليل اللي غوانا الحزن بحوره تغرقنا والحيرة عواصف عميانة The earth trembles under our feet In our dreams we suffocate Fear invades the dreams Night conquers the day Barbed wire cuts the way Darkness grows and grows. الخوف بيحاصر أحلامي. الليل بيهاجم أيامي. السلك الشايك في طريقي والضلمة بتكبر قدامي. مش بطلب منك حرية. مش هطلب منك حرية. أنا حر في حبي وفي كرهي. أنا حر في فرحي وفي حزني. أنا حر ولو هتأيدني أنا حر ولو هتعذبني أنا جوه قلبي شجرايا طرحة أزهاري مش ممكن تقدر تكسرني حتى لو تقدر تسجني حتى لو تقدر تقتلني مش ممكن تقدر تكسرني The sun that rises through my song The words that scream The bird that flies across my sky My wildest dream stem from deep inside my soul. I am born free. أنا حر وحرة أفكاري. أنا ماشي حكمل مشواري. الطير الطاير في سمايا. المية الجارية في أنهاري. الشمس الطلعة في غنايا. الكلمة الصرخة في أشعاري. نبتة من بذرة جوايا. من قلب بينبض حرية. حرية. Freedom, freedom.